All right, another great open from Mario Ruiz. Appreciate everybody being a part of the show. Lakers talk. We're in September. Laker fans, it feels really, really good to get another one of these shows in. Took last week off, so obviously kind of itching to get back in front of a microphone. And how about the timing? Timing is good. Earlier today, Patrick Beverley got a chance to talk to the Lakers media and certainly give an opportunity to talk about this upcoming season. I'm going to do something a little bit unique today. I'm going to play the full interview of Patrick Beverley from earlier today, and I will tell you guys, if you guys haven't got a chance to listen to it, very interesting, really, really good. Patrick Beverley on what he thinks he's going to bring to the table, Pat Bev and how he would play alongside Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverley being completely honest about the Lakers not making the playoffs last year and then some of the goals this upcoming season. This is really, really good stuff. And just to kind of set up the entire show, I'll play the Pat Bev interview. We'll get a chance to react to it. Darvin Ham was asked about Russ and Patrick Beverley potentially starting together, and I thought his response was very interesting. And on top of that, Jovan Buha of The Athletic, he's going to come up in about a half hour. So we got a jam-packed show tonight, and let's get things started off. Here's Patrick Beverley from earlier today addressing the Los Angeles Lakers media.
Listen. The sizzle of savory mandu is calling. This is more than a dumpling. It's what we bring to the table. Introducing Bibigo Mandu, a discovery worth sharing.
First of all, Patrick, congratulations and welcome back. What do you think your special skill sets will bring to this club that they didn't have last year?
I wouldn't say that they didn't have, obviously. You look on paper, it's one of the most talented teams and put together in the NBA. So I wouldn't say what they don't have, but what I can add is I'm willing to be prepared every day. I'm a very detailed man, so preparation is really big for me. And the ability to will, my will ability, willingness to be on practice at time, willingness to compete every day, willingness to win a lot of games and potentially go to the playoffs. So will factor.
Is it true that when you're a teammate, people love you, but when you're on the opposition, they don't like you?
I don't know. I haven't been my teammate.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess that's what people say. But if you've been around me, I'm all about winning. Obviously, you could tell by my numbers. I really don't care about points and assists. I just care about wins and losses. So that's the only thing with me.
You've long admired LeBron. What are you excited about learning, or what do you think you might learn from him?
Obviously, he's been in this league, since he was a baby, 37, 36, 37, I don't know the exact age, but to the durability to be able to play, at a high level, season in and season out, preseason playoff, if I can learn anything, I can kind of, whatever that recovery process is with him and kind of take that up. But obviously, he's done things and been places that, kids dream about going to and being. So, as much as I can soak up from him, not only him, though, AD, Russ, whatever you can soak up from those type of players, I don't think it does nothing but help you.
Pat, you and Russ have battled a lot in this league. I don't know if it's ever been personal for you, but what's it like to be his teammate now? What have the conversations been like?
Super excited. And I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, but super excited. I was asked this question, I think, two, three years ago about someone I always wanted to play with, and he was the first name. Obviously, I've been knowing Bron since I was a baby, but a rookie in this league, so obviously I want to play with him. But just a player with that, competitive spirit, that fire, that will, that dog, that nastiness, that grit, to have a running mate like that, I've never had that. So I'm super excited. I'm super excited to see where it goes. Obviously, like any relationship or any marriage, things, we go have tough conversations. That's what comes with winning. But I'm excited about those conversations. I'm excited about the practices, and I'm just excited to be able to compete with somebody like that.
How do you think you guys fit together?
I think it's perfect. I shoot a ton out the right corner wing. He posts on the left wing. Out of ATOs, he likes to post on the right wing. I shoot 50% from the left corner three. It works. To have another ball handler out there with me, obviously with LeBron also. I think the more ball hounds, I think the better you are a team.
Pat, having been on the other side with the Clippers for so long, what is it like for you to be a Laker?
No, it's very different. I night and day, too. Just walking around the city, you almost get a different respect. But with that respect comes a lot of responsibility, too. So, you don't take a For me, you know, my upbringing in this league, you never want to take an opportunity like this for granted. You know, you're talking about one of America's teams. So with that comes a badge of honor and respect that you have to play with each and every night. But, you know, that's something I do anyway.
Patrick, you cited the stats haven't really been about it for you, but there are some stats like net rating, right, individual ratings that have always been really high for you on your team when you're on the court. How do you think that works with the will factor that you explained, and how do you think with this specific group of Lakers teammates, like how do you think that could impact a team that, had some issues in various ways last year?
I mean, I think this is a whole new start. Obviously, you know, when it comes to, you know, net rating, I don't know a lot about all that, but you know, but
basically the team's better when you're on the court.
Well, yeah, but when it comes to all that stuff, you know, I'm going to just be Pat. Obviously, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to compete at the highest level. And I'm going to have fun doing it. So, thank you. Love that, brother. First dime of the year. Thank you. Oh, yeah. But, no, I just, you know, I love playing basketball. I've been doing it since I was a kid. So, I mean, I just love to compete. And not, like I said, I don't want to take advantage of this opportunity.
Well, so just dating back to last year, you go to Minnesota, and it does seem like you have an impact on the culture there. Defensive intensity, et cetera. What did you do in your mind, and how did that go, and how do you think that translates?
Houston Rockets and the Clippers and Minnesota. I just didn't want to make sure you didn't forget your team.
Well, that's not sure yet, but most.
Yeah,
most
all three of they asked, yeah. Yeah, I changed the culture, all three of them, yeah. But I'm not here trying to change the culture. I'm just trying to implement what I feel like has worked over the past years, and that's the more closer you are, the more you are a team, the more you spend together, the better you will be as a team. If you can't have those tough conversations amongst each other, you damn sure ain't going to have them in front of 20,000 people while the crowd is going against you. So my thing has always been camaraderie, team. And you do that and you play hard, you just let the dominoes fall wherever they fall from there.
You talk about the difference between, you know, being in L.A. as a Laker versus Clippers, but along the lines of what you were just saying, like their marketing, their identity is so much built on you and the people in the back and in Clamp City, right?
Mm.
Like, is it a trip for you at all to like have to like face sort of something that you helped build?
No. I think it comes with the territory. Obviously, you know, when it comes to structure and when it comes to you guys like to use the word culture, or whatever that, you know, when it comes to that, obviously you can, you know, hint me and you know, and throw a tight on it. But I just like to win. You know, I pride myself in never, ever missing the playoffs. Like, I pride myself in little stuff like that. You know, to people, it might not be a big thing, but for me, that's a big thing, obviously, because I'm not at All-Star every February. So, you know, me making the playoffs, me not making the playoffs, that's a big thing to me, and I wear that wholeheartedly on my sleeve. So I don't expect that to change anytime soon.
When you got dealt to Utah, did you think there was another stop for you perhaps? And then I guess the way that the trade happened is I was in the Midwest when it happened. It was midnight.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty, like, kind of talk me through the process of finding out. I think you treat something like a woke up a Laker or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Minnesota trade came out sideways. Obviously, no one on my team, we didn't expect it for that to happen. So I'm preparing, like, I'm going back to Minnesota. I get a call, you trade to Utah. You know, my mindset, okay, I got to take Utah to the playoffs. You know, that's just my mindset. I mean, you hear things, obviously, you're on the internet, I'm on the internet, you hear things, you know, you don't know how true it is, and, you know, until it finally happens, that's when it really hits you, like, oh, shit, like, you know, I'm a Laker, so we got that call or whatever, you know, the guy, whoever put it out, Woj, or whoever, I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's like you want something, and it's finally here, you know, and I'm just super excited about it, like I said, to play with those three guys, you know, and the coach is, you know, his first year, like, you know, I've been with a coach where he coached his first year. Super excitement. You know, you focus on nothing but winning. So, like, to be able to, you know, go through that whole process again, I'm very excited about.
Miriam hinted at this, but, you know, Houston, especially when you were there, like, you know, was building something, right? Like, the Clippers had an identity that was changed. Minnesota was a young team. Like, how different is this situation? You walk into the building, you see the titles, the expectations are what they are. There's incredible star power already here. How different is it for somebody, I think for you, who kind of really relished like the underdog part of this?
Well, I don't think it's any different. I just feel like they didn't make the playoffs last year. Like, if we've been honest, that's just the truth. So, you know, you can see all the banners, but, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? And lately, haven't been a good team lately. And, you know, I'm here. Obviously, Coach Ham is here. You know, the polarizing figures are here. What's the reason? How do we get to it? How do we win? What do we do? What do we sacrifice? What do we give up? You know, everybody wants to go to the bank and take out, but you have to give something also to be a successful team. So what are you going to give up? And that's my thing, and that's what I'm going to implement. And you guys, man, I've been around this league a long time. I have no problem giving up myself for the team. So, and what's the next man and do the next man? And I think that's the most important.
Pat, you made it no secret. You talked that you wanted to play with Russ, but also you made it no secret you wanted to play with LeBron.
Yeah. I think that was more for you guys. I know you guys are kind of hold on to that one. You guys want, y'all ain't gonna hold on to me and Russ playing if it's only us cursing each other out, but I mentioned something about LeBron, y'all go hold on to that one. Very interesting, but okay.
I used to relish going up against LeBron, but why do you want to play with him so much?
I mean, who doesn't, right? I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, GOAT status, but not only him, you're talking about GOAT status all the way across, obviously, you know. I know you guys fans of basketball, but I'm really like, I that's all I know is my life. I mean, we're a matchup problem. We're a matchup problem from anybody. And in order for us to be a matchup problem, we have to get to the playoffs. Playoffs are all matchups, and we're a matchup problem for everybody across the board. And we know that. So our business is just getting to the playoffs. When we get to the playoffs, the guys who all that polarizing figure, now you guys take us where we got to go. But that's the mindset.
Physically, how are you feeling?
Amazing. Like I'm 19. What about you?
Like I'm
60. Okay. Yeah. Come to the Lakers. We'll get you right there, my boy.
Anything else,
fellas?
Have you thought about the types of shots that you're going to get?
Oh, obviously.
LeBron, Russ.
Yeah, obviously. They all like the mid-post. Like I said before, Russ, he loves the mid-post and transition on if the rim is this way facing us. He likes the post on the left wing. So, you know, that's easy for me. All corner threes, you know, I don't really have to worry about my closeout man. The closest man is coming from this way. I believe AD's left block. I think Bron's both. After ATOs, I believe Russ is right block, and my left three is this way. I don't have to. So, I mean, it's just basketball. I know I get real detailed about it, but, yeah, I thought about all my shots. Yeah.
Pat, defensively, obviously, the point of attack, defense has been a big part of your career, but you can also scale up and guard bigger players if needed. Have you had initial thoughts about where you might fit with this type of personnel under Coach Darvin Ham?
No. I just, you know, I want to be able to, like, you know, me having my running mates, you know, I really haven't had, you know, my running mates has been, like, you know, Reggie and D'Lo, and, you know, for the last couple of years, I haven't had, like, a explosive guard like Russ, you know, to kind of play with offensively and defensively. So, like, if I could take the defensive pressure off Russ for him to be great offensively, I think that's a win for the team. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think, you know, the way the team is made up, I think it works. It works a lot. I think it's just up to us to do the small things for us to be really good.
Okay, that's Pat Bev right there. Fantastic stuff. I got a lot that I want to react to. We're going to do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. You got a chance there to hear Patrick Beverley, the full presser from earlier today at the Lakers practice facility. Just quick reminder, Jovan Buha in about 15 minutes or so is going to come join the show. He was there. We'll get a chance to talk about it, get his reaction to it, and certainly now want to spend some time with my own reaction. So a couple things stuck out to me. Aside from the Patrick Beverley piece, I want to address something real quick on Russell Westbrook. So Russ was there. Russ was at the Darvin Ham press conference a few months back, and he's there earlier this afternoon when Patrick Beverley is being introduced and is hanging around. I saw some of the videos, one during Patrick Beverley's presser, throws him a towel, and Patrick Beverley jokes around, as you guys heard, there's our first dime together. For as much as Russell Westbrook's been talked about since he's become a Los Angeles Laker, and as much as that has been incredibly negative, and I'm a culprit of this as well, obviously the fit has not worked. Last year was just a disaster. It was really tough to watch on a night-in, night-out basis, listen to on our broadcasts on a night-in, night-out basis, because he had such high expectations for the Lakers, and it just didn't happen. And the Russ piece of it, it was not all warranted. I mean, Russ should not be blamed for literally everything that happened last year with the Lakers, 33-49 on the season. But you could tell it wasn't a good fit. His salary is incredibly high. Obviously, it's not working. He had his struggles, and the entire team just struggled. He has been a target for over a year now in Los Angeles. It started at training camp, and it has gone all the way to as we sit here today. And we've certainly thrown out trade scenarios and everything else. I respect Russ showing up in the Darvin Ham presser, and I respect Russ even more so showing up at Patrick Beverley's presser. And my reasoning is actually very easy. Russ has been a target in a negative connotation for a year. And I don't know if Russ is going to be on the Lakers by the time training camp starts. I don't know if Russ is going to be on the Lakers by the time the trade deadline passes in February. I don't know if Russ is going to be on this Lakers roster a year from now. I have no idea. I really don't. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. And I know I've, like many other Laker fans, I've been a proponent of wanting to kind of move on. I respect that he's showing up, doing what he can from his perspective, trying to be the right teammate, trying to be a good teammate, trying to show that he is supporting the franchise. Now, what that eventually all breaks down to, I don't know. I know Laker fans at the end of the day want results, and that's what we have to hope for this upcoming season. So I just wanted to throw that in because I was a little surprised that Russ was there, and a lot of the conversation was Patrick Beverley talking about his relationship with Russ. Certainly a conversation being had with Darvin Ham as far as those two potentially starting together. So anyways, we could get into that as the show progresses. I'll bring that up to Jovan as well. So a couple things that stuck out to me with Patrick Beverley. I actually think this is going to be I'm not overly crazy about the Lakers roster right now. And I think there's a lot of people out there that have they have doubts about if things will mesh, if they will fit, if you got the right amount of talent, if Anthony Davis can stay healthy, Bron in his 20-year. We got a lot of question marks coming up this year. We do, and there's no hiding that. But I thought a couple things I heard from Patrick Beverley in that 11-minute, 12-minute presser. Man, is this the right person to have on this roster? Man, is this a guy that you know will voice his opinion in front of 20,000 people or behind the scenes in the locker room where there's only 10 guys in there and the coaches? Patrick Beverley is going to speak his mind. And I really, really think he's the type of player that can help change a culture for the Lakers. And you might say, well, what do you mean? They don't need to change their culture. They got LeBron. They got Anthony Davis. No, I think sometimes it's not just your star players that have to be the voice of reason. I always think back, when the Lakers were winning championships with Shaq and Kobe. Well, yeah, we all know Shaq and Kobe are the two biggest guys on the team. We know how important those guys are. We know they're the best players on the team, of course. But you needed guys like Brian Shaw, and you needed guys like Derek Fisher, and you needed guys like Rick Fox. And I'm not even referring to just from what they bring to the table on the basketball floor. What are they doing in the locker room? Can they be a bridge between a conversation? Can they bring up something that nobody else wants to bring up? Tell me where in that 12-minute conversation that Patrick Beverley was having with the Lakers media that you didn't walk away at least feeling a little bit excited about what Pat Bev can bring to the Lakers. This is off the floor. On the floor, you know he's going to be a defensive player. You know he's going to try to be as best as he can a pest. You know he's going to be a dog that the Lakers, we didn't feel like, had a player like that last year. So I'm excited about that part of it. And I love his honesty, too. His honesty talking about the Lakers said, let's be real. They were not a playoff team last year. That is our goal. It's to make the playoffs. And then once we make the playoffs, It's all about matchups. And don't tell me we don't have the guys here that are going to match up against other teams. He's right, by the way. And that should be the goal. And I know there's going to be Laker fans saying, no, the goal of the Los Angeles Lakers is not to make the playoffs. The goal for the Lakers is always supposed to be to win a championship. I get that. I understand it. Sometimes it's more realistic than not. Jumping into this season, it is, I have to be convinced that they could be a part of that conversation. I'm not currently convinced of that. And there are a lot of factors that go into it. But Pat Beverly is right. They didn't make the playoffs last year. And their goal should be to make the postseason. And if they do, then that's going to be an incredibly tough out. That's the hope. How many games is AD going to play? Is Russ going to fit in? Will he be on the roster? How is Patrick Beverly going to be? Are some of these young players going to be able to thrive? There are a lot of question marks. Is Darvin Ham going to pull the right strings at the right situation? So we don't have those answers. But having a guy like Patrick Beverly on your team, I think is, no question about it, a positive thing. And I think what this guy is going to potentially bring to the table for the Lakers will be beneficial on the court and off the court. So let's see what happens, you know, once the season starts. But I was a fan of a lot of things that he said. He talked about how he's incredibly excited to play with Russ. I thought it was interesting, too. There's a quote here where he says, from playing with the Clippers now to the Lakers, very different night and day. Walking around the city, you almost get a different respect. Listen, I don't know if he's throwing shade at the Clippers, but I think there's, you know, some honesty and some truth there. There's expectations that comes with the Lakers. There just is. And the Clippers have a really, really good roster. Really good roster. And, you know, people would tell you, if you go look at the top five teams in the NBA coming into the season, there's a lot of experts out there would think that the Clippers are one of those top five teams. But the weight and the expectations that comes with the Clippers in comparison to the Lakers is obviously completely different. So I thought that portion was a little bit interesting. I want to jump to one other thing that happened earlier today. So Darvin Ham also got a chance to talk to reporters, and you know, he was there kind of complimenting what the backcourt could look like. He thinks it could definitely be jive, I guess you can say. One of the things that he said that also, you know, certainly stood out, he said, Darvin Ham on, if I'm reading a tweet here from Jovan, who's going to join me in a few minutes. Darvin Ham on if Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverly can start together. This is what Darvin Ham said. He said, if they play defense, definitely. You know, one of the things I'm excited about with Darvin Ham coming in, and having a guy like Patrick Beverly on this team, dudes are going to be held accountable. And Darvin Ham, I've said this before, and I think it's important to reiterate it. Darvin Ham does not have any pressure on him this upcoming year, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. He's not in the final year of his contract. Darvin Ham doesn't have to worry about will he be the coach of the Lakers next year. Russell Westbrook is on the final year of his contract. And Russ, this is a critical year for him if he does end up playing for the Lakers to show value so that he can, you know, obviously continue to make money and prosper in the league like he has in his Hall of Fame career past this upcoming season when he's not due $47 million like he is with the Lakers. When I say Darvin Ham does not have pressure on him, what I mean by that is Darvin Ham does not have to treat Russ a certain way. And frankly, let's not just isolate Russ in this situation. There's no player on this Lakers roster that he has to treat a certain way. And LeBron and AD, listen, if the Lakers want to win, they got to be on the floor, so there's no real question there. But Darvin Ham, if he feels that Russ is not doing what he needs him to do and he does not start him in games, I don't think there's pressure on Darvin Ham to say, well, I got to start Russ because it's Russell Westbrook. Let me actually play out another scenario that I think is more important than just starting. Who finishes games? If Austin Reeves is having a really, really good game, just using Austin Reeves as an example, and he's all over the place on defense, and him and Patrick Beverly are in the backcourt, and there's 6 minutes left to go in the game, and it's tied at 105 against the Denver Nuggets in Denver, he is not obligated to go back to Russell Westbrook. He is not obligated to go to a player because there's pressure on him to go to that player. And I think at times Frank Vogel, whether he felt that or he didn't, or whether he was just trying to keep the team together and he thought the best thing to do was to keep Russ in those situations, Darvin Ham doesn't have to do that. So I look at that quote from Darvin on this potential of Russ and Patrick Beverley starting together if they play defense. If they play defense, definitely. He's not talking about Patrick Beverley. No one's ever talked about Patrick Beverley when it comes to defense and questioning his whether it be his IQ on defense or his effort on defense. Nobody has. I thought last year was a perfect example of watching Russ at times where it's like, Russ, you got to do more on defense. And that actually went with the entire Lakers team. There were plenty of times last year I thought Bron was taking plays off on D. So this hopefully trickles down to the entire roster, but just a lot of good stuff today that gives me a little bit of excitement. I've got to be honest with Laker fans here. We have not had too much to be excited about over the last 6 months or so when it comes to Lakers basketball. Patrick Beverley, at least for the moment, injects a little bit of excitement. Now we're going to have to get into training camp, and then we're going to have to get into preseason, and we're going to have to look at what is the mood of this team. What is the vibe that this team has? What's the personality that this team brings? What kind of player are we going to get from Anthony Davis this year? What does Bron look like in his 20th season? All those are going to be really the factors of whether the Lakers have a successful season or if they don't. But at least just for a 12-minute presser, I walk away feeling really good about having Patrick Beverley on this team. Who'd the Lakers lose trading for Patrick Beverley? They lost a really young and, you know, potential with Talen Horton Tucker, who's just 21 years old. But how much can THT help the Lakers today? I don't think that much. Stanley Johnson, I'm a fan of his. I wish he didn't go. I think they needed a wing player like that. But Stanley can only do so much. And his resume in the league and his resume in that locker room is not going to be what Pat Bev brings to the table. So those are a few of the jumping points that come off to me having Pat Bev a part of the Lakers. Like I said, he's going to be brutally honest. He's going to be great for sports talk radio. I'm going to tell you that right now because he's always going to speak his mind. But more importantly, hopefully what he brings inside of that locker room helps change some of the scope of what we've seen over the last year or so. Jovan Buha, who is the beat writer of the Lakers for The Athletic, he's coming up next. He was there at the presser. Looking forward to get his thoughts on all this. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Obviously, a lot of tonight's episode revolving around the presser, the press conference. Patrick Beverley introduced as a Los Angeles Laker, officially introduced earlier today. And one of our main guys, a frequent guest of the show, does a fantastic job covering the Los Angeles Lakers. He's a Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. Also the host of the Stargazing podcast, Jovan Buha. Jovan, what's going on, man? Thank you for coming on the show.
How's it going, Alan? Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start with this because I know you were there earlier today. Give me kind of a picture, a vibe. Travis and I were doing our show, so I didn't get a chance to be down there. But give me kind of an idea of how the day went, how the presser went, just your overall feeling of Patrick Beverley being introduced as a new Los Angeles Laker?
Well, I think Pat started off the press conference in the most Pat way, which is, and he would do this with the Clippers when I used to cover him with the Clippers, but he walked into the practice that they had it in their kind of practice media room at the facility. And he walks in and he says, "What's up, everybody?" And maybe a couple of people said, "What's up?" But it was pretty quiet. And then he raises his voice and says, "I said, what's up, everybody?" And then everyone's like, "What's up, Pat?" So that was just like, he would do, like, he's always kind of pushing the button. You know, he's kind of keeping the pressure on and keeping you on your toes. And He's big on the greeting, and you know, if he says hi to you, he wants you to you know, say hi with the same energy. And like, that's, I just think, a perfect encapsulation of what he's going to bring to the Lakers, and just keeping everybody active and engaged and energized at all times. And I think that's the reason why, if you look at Pat Beverly's career, his teams have always had greater success after adding him, and his teams have always been better when he's on the floor, statistically, just because of that constant energy and effort that he brings to his ball club. So I think from kind of the jump, he set that tone, and you know, said all the right things with him and Russ. You know, that was obviously a big topic of the day. Russ was in attendance at the press conference, off to the side, stayed for Darvin Ham's press conference, which happened right after Pat Beverly's. So, you know, Pat said he's never played with someone who has that grit and toughness, you know, like him, like a guy like Russ. You know, there really was no confirmation of if they've talked or if they've kind of put some of their past behind them. But based on Russ being there and the things that Pat was saying, and then later what Darvin was saying, it does seem like everyone's at least on the same page of, you know, regardless of what happened in the past, regardless of what previous beef there might have been, you know, we need to find a way to make this work. We believe our games can complement each other. Pat is obviously an elite point of attack defender, can defend multiple positions, will set that tone defensively, and then offensively is an elite spot up shooter who can complement and play off of LeBron and Russ. So, you know, definitely I think Pat's energy was one of the things that stood out to me, but obviously as well, you know, I think kind of the elephant in the room has been Russ in that situation and you know, specifically their relationship. And by all accounts, it seems to at least be in a cordial place, which is, I think, more than you could say a few months ago.
Jovan, you know, I'm curious. I'm going to go back to Pat Beverly in just a second, but we know when Darvin Ham was introduced as the head coach of the Lakers, Russ was there. Pat Bev gets introduced as part of the Lakers organization. In this case, Russ is there. So Russ is at a couple of these big-time pressers, obviously important pressers for the Lakers, and he's at both of them. Are you at the point now where, I mean, I know the way the offseason has gone, I certainly spent a lot of time on this talking about trade scenarios and what's KD going to do, and if he leaves, does that mean Kyrie comes? And you know what, maybe the Lakers can find a deal with the Jazz if Donovan Mitchell goes. Are you at the point now where you feel that Russ is going to be a part of the Lakers, at least by the time the season starts in less than 30 days? When I say the season, I'm talking about obviously the preseason.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean that way. I think obviously there have been the breadcrumbs all summer, kind of on both sides, because Russ has been active at things, right? He was at Darvin Ham's press conference when the rest of the guys in attendance were some of the kind of lower role players in on the totem pole, you know, guys like Austin Reeves, Stanley Johnson, Wenyen and Gabriel, like those guys were there, but not LeBron, not AD, the guys maybe you would expect, especially if someone like Russ was there. He was at the Summer League game. He was there today. So, like, I think there's been some breadcrumbs there on that, but obviously, you know, there's been conversations with the Pacers. There's been conversations with the Jazz and the Knicks individually and on the three-team front, you know, pre-Donovan Mitchell trade. So I think while the Lakers have, you know, certainly explored and I think will continue to explore based on what I've been told, you know, Russell Westbrook trades, I think, you know, look, we're 20 days, less than 20 days away from media day and training camp starting. Like, I think at some point, it is greater than not that he is going to be back. So still think there's a, you know, possibility that, you know, depending on how things go in training camp, you know, we'll see what they decide. And as I think the trade deadline gets closer, there's always, you know, teams that initially thought they were going to be competitive aren't competitive and they make certain guys available that weren't previously available, or depending on where the Lakers are at around that 50 game mark, they're either happy with Russ or they're not happy and they kind of re-engage. But, you know, I have been hearing for a few weeks now that I think kind of that week leading into training camp is going to be more of the active. You start to hear some more rumors and there starts to be more of the pressure of, if the Lakers are going to make a deal, you know, it's probably going to be before training camp. So this is kind of that crunch time. So we're still kind of a week and a half, 2 weeks away from that. But it is looking, with Russ being there and being you know, a good soldier, like that he at least will likely enter training camp starting with them. So we'll see where it goes from there. It's been a nonstop soap opera this offseason. But, you know, I do think that it's now, I think it's been about 50-50 for a while, and it's starting to lean maybe more towards 55-60% that Russ is back.
Yovan Bua covers the Lakers beat writer for The Athletic, joining Lakers Talk. Yeah, and I'm going to give Russ some credit on this one. I talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. I respect he's showing up. I really do. I mean, and I've been somebody that's been a proponent of wanting to move Russ and do what you got to do, and they got to get other role players and guys that fit better. Kind of the laundry list of what other people have said as well. But I respect that he's showing up. He's still a part of the Lakers organization as of today. So while he's a part of the Lakers, that is kind of, I think it says something for him to be around. As far as Russ and Patrick Beverley, hypothetically, let's say that is, you know, Russ is on the roster. How do you think that backcourt works together? How do you think they complement each other? Do you think that ends up being the two starters if the regular season starts? Just your thoughts on those two, that pairing, complementing LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, well, Pat was asked about that a couple of times and started going into the X's and O's and analyzing their fit on the court of, like, you know, he's like, out of after timeout sets, you know, Russ likes to post up here and then, you know, I shoot this percentage from this corner, and you know, talking about how they often like to play on opposite sides of the floor, and that he thinks he can be a good spot up option for Russ to kick it out if he doesn't have a shot. So I think they complement each other, you know, actually, you know, fairly well. I think that Pat, and we've seen it with Pat, where, you know, going back to Houston with James Harden, with the Clippers with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and last year in Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, like, Pat Beverley is the type of guard that you want when you have elite perimeter, you know, wings or big men that have the ball a lot in their hands, because he's a good spot up shooter. He can handle the ball and run some pick and roll and penetrate and stuff, but it's not necessarily his strength, but he could do it at a high enough level where if you need that in, you know, let's say they're pressing against somebody or doubling someone, like, he can attack, you know, the defense there. And I think he is offensively obviously a great kind of fit around. I mean, he's basically a 3-and-D point guard, which there aren't many of them in the league, but he is one of the few, and he does it at a high level. And then defensively, he can be that point of attack guy. He can defend multiple positions. I mean, I covered a playoff series in which he was guarding Kevin Durant for most of the series. And despite giving up almost a foot in height difference, he was checking Kevin Durant and getting under his skin. And yes, Kevin Durant had some big games in that series, but Pat held his up. I mean, like, you would think most point guards guarding KD is going to go for 70, 80 points, right? Like, he just is going to get good shot after good shot. And Pat made him work. And KD's that great that he still got his, but Pat made him work. So I think there's the natural fit. What I found interesting was Darvin Ham was asked about those two starting together, and if, you know, that's tentatively the starting backcourt. And he said, if they play defense, definitely. And I think, subliminally, that's kind of a message at Russ, right? Because we know Pat Beverley, you never need to question Pat Beverley's
yep.
defense. I think last season, obviously, there was some questioning of Russ's defense. So, you know, I think that's going to be kind of interesting how that plays out. You would think that Pat has kind of always been a starter throughout his career. So you probably pencil in those two together. But, there are the kind of the questions of if they are going with a bigger starting lineup, like, maybe you can get away with it, but that is kind of a small backcourt. You know, Russ is 6'3", Pat 6'1". You look at across the league, most backcourts have a guy that's at least 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", back there. So I think both Pat and Russ can defend up. And we have seen, you know, last year, Russ defended Brandon Ingram, and there were games where he actually defended more wings than point guards. But I think a guy like Austin Reeves is also going to be in the mix. He's kind of another one of those 3-and-D guys, has more size at around 6'5", you know, as I've reported on, has bulked up a bit this offseason, you know, gained about 10, 12 pounds of muscle and has really been focusing on his body and his physicality and just handling the NBA grind. So I think he's another guy who's going to be in the starting mix. But as of now, I would probably pencil it in as Russ and Pat. I just think, to Darvin's point, this is going to depend on kind of the defensive activity level. Can those two defend together at a high rate? Because I think offensively, you put Pat around anybody, he's going to find a way to make it work on or off the ball. It's really, can those two mesh defensively and complement each other? And I think that remains to be seen.
Is this part of Darvin Ham in his first year? Is this the, I guess, flexibility that he's going to have where if he feels, all right, you know what? No, I don't like Russ in the starting lineup, and defensively he's not doing what I ask him to do. Do you feel like he's got that? Part of this comes with the fact that he is a first-year coach. He does have a contract where he's not worried about his job. How much of that do you think comes into play when deciding what to do with Russ? And maybe that also has to do with the fact that Russ is in the final year of his contract. Does he not feel any pressure, you think, to have to put Russ in a position or to have to start him?
Yeah, well, I reported a few weeks ago that from what I've been told, Darvin has the green light to make difficult decisions with Russ. Remember last year, it was such a big deal when Frank Vogel benched Russ down the stretch of a few games, and, you know, Russ was asked about it and he obviously wasn't happy with it. And Frank had to be asked about it. And, then there was the subsequent reporting that Frank had to clear it with the front office and get kind of their permission to do it. So I've heard Darvin is going to be empowered with making those difficult decisions. Now the way it's been kind of framed to me, and I think the way that's been framed publicly as well, is like, you know, Russ, they are still considering this a big three and that Russ is still one of the stars. So I believe Russ is going to be at least enter training camp. If he's on the roster and, you know, everyone's on the same page. Like, I think Russ is entering training camp as the starting point guard or shooting guard. I mean, you can kind of go either way with him and Pat, but as one of the starting guys in the backcourt, I think it would take something a little bit more drastic of, you know, him maybe not having that defensive activity or effort level that you want in training camp, or just him maybe not having the right attitude to see him, you know, potentially be benched. But I think to start, and most likely to start the season, they're going to have him as a starter and then revisit that down the road. But I think it's more so in the case of Darvin kind of making those decisions, it's more so minutes wise and like closing games, like, you know, okay, you're Russ, you're going to start, but if you're not, you know, defending at the level we need you to, or if you're not playing within the style of offense that we want you to play in, then okay, we will adjust your minutes. You know, maybe you play 25 minutes instead of 32 minutes, or maybe you don't close this game because Pat's already hit four threes, you know, Austin's played good defense, we're going to go with these two guys instead. So I think there is that flexibility there more so than last year. And to your point, he's an expiring contract. He doesn't have as much leverage as he had last season, where I think it was new, it was fresh, it was, you know, the big three, and they haven't really played together and like this and that. Like, I don't think there's that same kind of goodwill feeling entering the season. I think there's more of everyone has a sour taste in their mouth. They want revenge. And the guys that are going to buy in fully and play with play with defensive tenacity and effort, those are the guys who are going to play. So I think Russ, because of who he is and just because of his talent and his production, like, he is going to have a big role, obviously. And again, I think start, but I think the finer kind of details of minutes and closing and some of those things will ultimately be determined by his defense and by Darvin Ham's kind of assessment of that and where he's at in relation to other guys on the team.
Yovan, final one, and as always, we always appreciate your time on the show. As far as the potential deals still left out there, a couple teams that we've talked about, the Utah Jazz and a few of their players, or maybe potentially, I know it's been brought up a ton of times, Indiana Pacers. If a deal was to be made where Russ ends up with another team and the Lakers do make a move, is there a team that, you know, of some of the reported or some of the rumored conversations, is there a deal out there that you've liked more than others between maybe Indiana or whether it's the Pacers or the Utah Jazz, or maybe there's a sleeper team out there that we're not talking about?
Well, I think the Indiana deal is the best potential remaining deal. Now, I've heard talks have cooled between the two sides. It's been a little bit since they've discussed, actual terms of a deal. I think that was a warmer situation in like June and July. So I think, that one, I think there's going to probably, they're probably going to reapproach the table again, closer to training camp, kind of that week leading in. But that one, I think right now is definitely less likely than likely and definitely not as warm as it once was. I think, the most obvious one is Utah right now, where Utah is having a fire sale. The Lakers were trying to get involved in the Donovan Mitchell 3-team deal with New York. And I think in that deal, there's the potential to not have to give up as many assets just because New York was already going to be giving up so many assets to Utah that if the Lakers kind of attach themselves, they could kind of sneak in almost and be like, hey, well, maybe we'll give you a pick or a protected pick, but not the level of actually in dealing one-on-one, which is the scenario that they're in now. And that is where I think that there's some kind of trepidation on their part of how much should we actually give up for a package of, say, Bojan Bogdanovic, Mike Conley, and Rudy Gay, or whoever else you want to throw in as a third guy. Like, where does that actually get us? Yeah. And I think with the Miles Turner, Buddy Hield deal, that clearly, look at this starting five: Miles Turner, AD, LeBron, Buddy Hield, Pat Beverly. Like, you have shooting, you have defense, you have really nice versatile pieces around LeBron and AD. Like, I think that starting five can go toe to toe with just about anybody in the league, if not, be one of the league's best lineups. So like that group, I think if you're the Lakers, you're confident in. But if you're starting, Thomas Bryant, AD, Bojan Bogdanovic, LeBron, or maybe you're going 80 at the five, like, are you confident in the backline defense? Yes, the shooting is better. And maybe it's a Conley Beverly backcourt, but like, I just think there's more question marks with the Utah situation. And don't forget who's in charge in Utah right now. Danny Ainge, who does, mm-hmm. he's not going to do Lakers any favors.
Sure.
There's a long history there but with the Celtics-Lakers rivalry. So, we've seen Danny really prioritizes picks over everything, anything else. Part of the reason why they went with Cleveland versus New York was just the sheer volume of picks in that Cleveland trade. So, the demand right now is going to be Lakers, give us two picks. And the Lakers are going to say, this is not worth two picks. And, we're not even sure if it's worth one pick. And maybe there's again a middle ground where it's a pick or it's a lottery protected pick, but I don't, Utah is going to ask for as much as they can possibly get out of the Lakers. And I don't think the Lakers view that package as worth it. So that's kind of where things stand right now. I think between the two, Utah is certainly more likely. I just don't know if the Lakers view it as a trade that they are willing to give up, even an unprotected pick for. So that's where kind of the haggling point is going to be over the next few weeks. And but I think if we do see a Utah Lakers trade, it is something along the lines of Russ and a pick or a lottery protected pick for, Bogdanovic, Conley, who has a $14 million partial guarantee the following season, and then maybe like a Rudy Gay or someone like that. So that's what Laker fans should be on the lookout for if a deal does go down.
There it is. Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Jovan, thank you, buddy. I really appreciate you doing this tonight, and always appreciate the insight.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon.
All right, final thoughts coming up next. Stay right here at Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, thank you to Jovan Buha for joining the show. Been a great show so far here, so we're already coming to it. What the heck just happened to the show? We had 1 hour. Already feel like everything's obviously flown by, but the one other thing that I do want to get into, I spent some stuff. Sometimes I'll put some stuff up on my YouTube channel. I did that last night, and this was before the Pat Beverly and the conversation. And it's really kind of what's next for the Lakers was the theme of last night's show. And I kind of sit back here, and in my head, if this is it, if this is the roster that the Lakers have this upcoming season, and they don't make another move, and Russ is on this team. And we continue to hear the rumors. You heard Jovan talking about it. The final question I had about looking at what the Utah Jazz can offer or what the Indiana Pacers can offer. If a deal is not done and Russ is on this team, I'd be, you know, I kind of stand, want to make sure I put this right. It would have been a surprise offseason for me that he did not get dealt. It would have been a surprise offseason for me that the Lakers did not find a way to get some different role players. And, you know, you don't want to make a bad deal just to make one. You want to make a deal that you feel like makes sense and not continue to dig yourself a hole if that's what the feel, if the Lakers feel like other teams are just going to try to take advantage and take compensation of those picks. There was an article over the weekend that I thought was really interesting. There's an NBA executive that says the Lakers' first rounders in 2027 and 2029 are most powerful thing as far as picks go in the league right now. And this was coming on, this was an anonymous NBA executive, and it was on Heavy.com is where the quote came from. An executive told Heavy.com that everyone expects them to be top picks, and if you can't get them unprotected, everybody wants those. And it really kind of just tells you what, where teams look at the Lakers in the next 5 to 7 years, where their future's going, what happens after, you know, post LeBron James, where will they be as far as draft compensation? Will they be in a position to still compete? And there's a lot of signs that would tell you that's going to be incredibly difficult unless they're able to use a lot of that cap space to go get players. And I'm not telling you that the Lakers should not look and make sure that they protect their picks. Of course they should. You got, that's a big way of how you build your future and also your present. However, the Lakers, since LeBron got here, have not worried about the future. They've been worrying about now. So it's difficult sometimes if the Lakers feel like they can improve their roster and it's costing them a pick in 5 years, or costing them a pick in 7 years, or costing them both of those picks in that 5 to 7 year window. I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't take advantage of that if they felt like that's going to put them back in the conversation. Now, maybe that deal doesn't exist. Maybe a lot of the rumors and the conversations out there, it's just a team like Utah and Indiana trying to take advantage of the Lakers, and maybe it's not the right thing to do. But I also think that, you know, you're in a position now where LeBron is here and AD is here, and you're not going to have them. If LeBron decides to hang it up in 2 years or 3 years or whatever the case is, or just his level of play just can, it drastically goes down because of age, and there's nothing you could do to nothing you could do for it. I really think you got to take advantage of these opportunities now, and I'd hate to see any type of opportunity go by the Lakers right now, specifically because they're supposedly in an all-winning mode, even though they were 16 games below 500 last year. I know a lot of this is going to depend on the health of Anthony Davis. Laker fans, that's all we got. If you want the entire 1 hour of the show, ESPN LA podcast, Lakers Talk channel, it is there. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you to Michael Funches. Thank you to Laura Romo. Thank you to Mario Ruiz. LA, have a great rest of your night.